Elizabeth Elliot says, there's a difference between a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day and a peaceful and happy one. I think it does not depend nearly so much on what happens as it depends on your attitude and your response. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, helping you face your day with a godly attitude. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again this time on the discipline of emotions. Some of you have heard me talk about my dear friend, Catherine Morgan, a missionary in South America. She was a widow when her daughters were all very small. She had four little girls very close together, and they were still very small when her husband died. Catherine went back to Colombia. She has now been there for 54 years. She's still a missionary. And she wrote me this letter. When one thinks and uses the arm of faith to back one's thinking, then the works of faith are produced. I agree with you that feelings are untrustworthy. Human thinking is also untrustworthy. But faith, which wings our thoughts heavenward, is productive, such as Ezekiel's experience when God told him his wife would die. He did as he was commanded. I think you and I had that experience. Our feelings were conducive to doubt as to the reasons why our husbands were taken. But we knew inside we had to do as the Lord had commanded. In my estimation, there was no particular virtue in what we did. We had received our orders and we had to stick by them and carry our feelings in our pockets. Many times my feelings would have led me to throw in the sponge here in Pasto. I felt the people were unresponsive and dull of hearing, and the effort was fruitless. I felt everything but the desire to stay here and work. Nevertheless, God's plan has to be carried out. This is a hard lesson to learn, and it often takes a lifetime. But one must have the conviction that God has spoken, and then one must get busy and carry out the command. Well, I'll tell you the truth. Those are exactly the words that I need right now. Because Janet and I are getting on toward the end of a fairly long day of recording. And I just went into the control room where she's sitting and I said, well, how am I doing or how does it sound? She's an expert in things like this and I feel as if she's a much better judge of whether I'm talking to the floor or talking to real people, whether I'm coming across with any sense or whether it's just becoming dry as dust. And to be very honest, I get to the point where I hardly have any feelings left except, when will we be finished with the last one here? It's just not an easy job to stick with it. But so what else is new? Is there anything particularly different about my job and yours? Not really when it comes right down to it, I guess. It's a matter of just what Catherine Morgan says. You have the conviction that God has spoken, and your job is to get busy and carry out the command. When Nehemiah was building the wall, he was doing a great work for God. But people who do real work for God are still people with real feelings. On one occasion during the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem, the common people raised a huge fuss against their fellow Jews because they didn't like their methods of raising money to buy food and pay taxes. I was very angry when I heard their outcry and the story they told, Nehemiah said. But I mastered my feelings and reasoned with the nobles and magistrates. I said, what you are doing is wrong. Now, I'd like you to notice that mastering his feelings did not mean, in this case, smiling sweetly and saying, everything's fine, you're okay. Mastering his feelings of anger, he reasoned with the nobles and magistrates and said, I suppose, in a calm voice, what you are doing is wrong. So feelings are not a good test of the will of God. A man's anger doesn't accomplish the will of God, but sweet reasonableness. You remember when Jonah was told to go to Nineveh. He didn't feel like going. His feelings led him astray. He did what he felt like doing instead of what God wanted him to do, and he paid a heavy price. True holiness does not mean nirvana. Nirvana is a state of mind in which you have gotten beyond all desire. We don't get beyond all desire as long as we're still in this human body. Jesus had deep and tender feelings. He loved babies. He was kind to little children and old people and sick people. He wept. He showed real anger at the money changers who were turning his father's house into a den of thieves. He had scathing words for the Pharisees. He suffered anguish of soul in Gethsemane. One translation says he began to be desperately depressed. And yet the prophet Isaiah says that he set his face like a flint. You and I are really not meant to be adrift like boats without sails, rudders, or anchors. We are to bring those feelings into subjection. In the book of Jude, we read about people who did not bring their feelings into subjection. Verse 11 says, "They have taken the road of Cain. For what they could get, they have rushed into the same error as Balaam. They have destroyed themselves by rebelling against God, as did Korah long ago. These men are a menace to the good fellowship of your feasts, for they eat in your company without a qualm, yet they care for no one but themselves. They are like clouds driven up by the wind, but they bring no rain. They are like trees with the leaves of autumn, but without a single fruit. They are doubly dead, for they have no roots either. They are like raging waves of the sea, producing only the spume of their own shameful deeds. They are like stars, which follow no orbit, and their proper place is the everlasting blackness of the regions beyond the light." May God preserve us from being like stars which follow no orbit. Who ordained the orbits? Who set the stars in their place? The same God who calls you and me and marks out a line of duty, an orbit in which we are meant to operate. If we decide to follow our own feelings, we're going to be deflected from that orbit of the will of God. We're not meant to be adrift like boats without sails or rudders or anchors. Bring your emotions into subjection to Jesus Christ. Do you insist on molding your life by your own desire? That really comes down to a denial of Jesus as Lord, doesn't it? Because when we say, "Thy will be done," we must be willing to say, "My will be undone." There are some very deep contrasts between the lower nature and the life in the Spirit, the one who walks by his feelings and the one who is guided by the Spirit. Thomas Merton said that in Jesus we see a supreme harmony between well-ordered human feelings and the demands of a divine nature and personality. You and I have human feelings. We also have a divine nature once we have become Christians. We are given a new nature and a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new act of creation. Is there harmony between our feelings and the demands of that spiritual nature? There should be. Paul spells out exactly what the lower nature is. It's all that is against God. He says the outlook of the lower nature is enmity with God. That nature sets its desires against the Spirit. It's characterized by fornication, impurity and indecency, idolatry and sorcery, quarrels, a contentious temper, envy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, party intrigues, and jealousies. Well, maybe you and I could claim self-righteously that we're certainly not guilty of the first three, fornication, impurity, and indecency. But then we remember Jesus' words that if anyone even so much as looks lustfully, he has already committed adultery in his heart. Well, feelings is what we're talking about here. The contrasts between the lower nature and that of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc., etc. So then, my brothers, Paul says, you can see that we have no particular reason to feel grateful to our instinctive nature or to live life on the level of the instincts. Indeed, that way of living leads to certain spiritual death. The world says, go with your feelings and be honest. The Bible says, go with your feelings and die. The world says, deny your feelings and you're dead. The Bible says, but if on the other hand you cut the nerve of your instinctive actions by obeying the Spirit, you are on the way to real living.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.